So we're doing the question about, first question is about the shamnunis on the knife, right? So you have a knife, and you have fat on the knife, and you want to know if you can scrape it off and use that for Eretz Yerushalayim. So you would think that you can't. But he's teaching you, he's coming to teach you, Rav Yitzchak, where the Rav Yehuda is teaching you that you could. Okay, as long as it was a kazayas. So the question is, what's the Avinu Skala? Pretty good, right? Okay. So I'm thinking like this. Let's see what happens here. But, maybe it's really furthering the question from yesterday. Okay, and in a sense, it is the same Maskana from yesterday. Okay? But you could... See, the difference is, Mechaim mentioned this point, that there, the nature of the, like I guess what you call the stigma of these two things is different. See, yesterday's case was leftovers. It was your leftover lentils. Right? It was, so to speak, abandoned to the pot, and now you're using it. You're scraping it off and using it. Today's even worse than that. It's not. It wasn't just leftovers, but it was garbage. It was dirt. Right? And now it's becoming a food. Right? So it's like, it's worse. It's a worse, in terms of the chashivas of the thing, on the scale of chashivas, you got like good food, leftovers, and then dirt. You know, scraped off dirt. It's a lesser, leftovers is bad. Like we said, like poor people would eat the leftovers out of the pot. But a certain poor person would eat that, but he wouldn't scrape the stuff off of the knife. Because it's, when it's on the knife, it's really dirt. When it's in the bottom of the pot, it's just that it's been left at the bottom of the pot. But it's really normal. It's normal lentils. It's there. It just you forgot about it. You left it there. So it's kind of been left over. But here, it really is identified as a dirt. It's a dirty knife. And then you're basically taking dirt and making it into your food. So it's like it's less on and then in the framework of the realm of Hashiva. So the way people relate to it, it's even worse. So you may have said yesterday that really, remember yesterday we said is the Havmina is you go, you measure the food as being Maichel Shal Shabbos based upon the way people relate to it. And people relate to this as being like in Chashivas, because it's leftovers. Mashmallah, no, we just care about the culinary properties of the food. But maybe you'll say no. Maybe you really do go by the way people relate to it. But leftovers is good enough to be defined as an Eretz Yerushalayim. It tolerates the shame of Maichel Shal Shabbos. It may not be the most chashuv food in the world, but it still is a food, and it's good enough to be defined as my Maichel Shal Shabbos. But when I take garbage, dirt, and I render it, that's already too bad. That's too negative. Too lowly to be defined as a Maichel Shal Shabbos. So you may have thought that the problem with the reason why leftovers were good is not because all we care about is the culinary properties of the thing, but we do care about the way people relate to it. But leftovers is sufficient, that's sufficient chashivas to be a Maichel Shal Shabbos. So this is showing you now, is that even a dirty knife, even that is sufficient. So then, that's because that's like the lowest of the law. So that's what's because we all really, really care about is the culinary properties of the thing. We don't care about the way people relate to it. In terms of the Shilin, what matters is the physical chafsa, and that's it. Doesn't matter the way people relate to it. It's a reminder or whatever it is. And as long as you have a chafsa, which is nochal, that's sufficient. So that's what it's interesting because the first one's a brisa, and Rebichia. And then I think it's Rav Nachman, it's like brother of Yehuda, I think is an Amora, so he's like furthering the halacha. He's saying not only this, but even in this case, you know, he's showing you the extent of the thing. But the further extent shows you the underlying principle. Yes, Zaki. So Zaki has a good question, so why don't you teach the second case? So there's a few answers I could say to that. One thing is maybe Rabbi Chia doesn't hold by the second case. Maybe it's not Holocaust. I don't really know. But Rabbi Chia is the first one. It's a Braisa. And then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yehuda comes and tells you the second case. So I don't know. Maybe he's arguing, or maybe he's just elaborating. Maybe he's telling you. He's clarifying the thing. Rabbi Chiya's idea, but Rabbi Yitzchak holds that Rabbi Chiya's thing lends itself to interpretations, and he's telling you the proper one. So it's not. See, even if it were, I don't think I could answer it. But it's not one guy saying two statements. They're two different statements. So sometimes one person says a statement, then the next guy says, "Oh, I'll tell you even better. I'll tell you even further. I'll clarify." You know, the generations later, he's clarifying the thing. And even if it were though one statement, I mean, that is a style in Mishnayos and Brises. It's called lo zu af zu. Not only this, but even this. Sometimes Mishnah is right like that. First tells you the smaller chiddush, and then tells you the further chiddush. You know, and it develops the idea that way. It's like a style. So sometimes it does that, and sometimes it does the other way. It's called zuve in sarach lomarzu. This, and it goes without saying, this. You know, like sometimes it starts a small chiddush and goes big one, sometimes it's a big one, and of course, the little one. I mean, it's a lozu afzu means, I mean, it's good to know that sometimes like Tosas and quote these things. Lozu afzu, not only this, but even this, afzu, even this. And zuve in sarach lomarzu means this, and it does without saying, you don't have to even say that. So it's hard to know, though. It's hard to know. I'm saying is the way it's presented is like he's furthering the idea. But I don't know if Rabbi Chiya would agree or disagree, or he's just clarifying. You with me? Just to clearly differentiate between two cases. Is when you have the lentils on the bottom of the pot, the lentils are lentils. They're individual, so to speak, objects. They're little, whatever lentils are, right? Pieces of lentils. And they are lentils. They're not a pot. And they're not a dirty pot. There's the pot, and then there's the lentils, which are sitting in the pot. Right? The pot is containing lentils. Right? The pot, that's what a pot is, a container of food, and this pot still has lentils on it. It's not just like a little tiny like dirt, but a knife is not a container of meat or anything like that. It's a knife. It's a dirty knife. It's not meat. See, it's not the pot with lentils on the bottom is not a dirty pot. It's a pot with a little lentils left at the bottom. And it was unintentional and it's leftovers, but it's still the identity of the thing is it's food which has a stigma, which has which is left. But the knife is not even identified as that. It's identified as dirt. You know, and then you scrape it off and you're saying basically you're rendering your dirt into food. It's dirt which is converted into food. But lentils are stuff which is leftovers, which are converted into not leftovers, so to speak. That's different. It's a different type of a stigma, different type of way people relate to it. Different lack in chashivas. Okay, next case. So it says like this. Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav. Dagim Ketanim Meluchen. Little salted fish. Ein bahem mishum mishulinachem. So they're not subject to the prohibition of mishulachem. Okay? Rashi. So you're not allowed to eat food cooked by a guy because of intermarriage. Something which is edible raw, right, if anyone, right, this is important to know. Something that is edible raw, there's no bishlachim. Okay, so like vegetables, that's why like in a non-kosher or whatever, something, if a guy cooks like vegetables, ordinary vegetables for you, that's not bishlachim, right? Like Chinese food or something like that. At least the vegetables part would be bishlachim, just in general. I mean, it depends on what kind of vegetables, but they're edible raw. Okay, why? The kivon kivon shenechol kmo shu chai, because since it was edible raw, ain't no bishl. It's not bishl. The lo ahani midi, because it didn't benefit it at all. Ve'elu necholim al yidei molchan chayim. So these things are not really edible raw. They're fish, and raw fish, it's raw fish. But if then you salt it, then they're edible. But then if you take this salted fish, and then the guy cooks it, so it's not a there's no rule when it has to get edible raw. off. The point is was it edible before it was cooked? And if it was edible before it was cooked, then you don't. Then it's not the. If it's edible before it's cooked, then it's not really defined. That's a tavshil. That's what they're saying, is because it's not really, the cooking process isn't really benefiting the thing qualitatively. Right? I mean, of course, it's making it a little better, right? But it means it's qualitatively was a food. It is a food. So the change is just the quantitative, right? It's making it better. So the thing is, that's not really. That's the thing. It's not special. Right? So the thing is that if a guy cooks that for you, so that's okay. It's not bishalakim. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, so that's a halacha of bishalakim. Amar Rav Yosef, in Salah Nachri, Sonach Leim Shomer Tashem. So if the guy cooks them, roasts them, so then you, the Jew, could rely on them for Erev Tavshil. Okay. Rashi says, Sonach Leim Tashor Bachila, because they're permitted to eat. So why not? It's funny, right?
It's not bishul.
What?
It's not bishul.
Oh, so that's the problem, right? It's not bishul. Because he just said, "Is why is it mutter? Because it's not bishul. Why is it not bishul akum?" He says, Rashi says, "Even to that problem of shufa, you know bishul. It's not bishul. The law hani midi, because it doesn't benefit it at all, right? So it's not bishul. So if that's the case, then how could use it for erev tavshilin?" Do you need a tavshil for Erev Tavshil? Right? You need a tavshil for Erev Tavshil? Let's read further, but I think it's separate. But it's V'yavdinu Nachri Kasa Deharsana Asar. The Nachri makes these fish into a Kasa Deharsana. Rashi. Netugan B'shuman Rave Dagim U'v'kemach. So it's fried in the fat of the fish innards and flour. So you basically take these stuff. Huh?
Breaded,
right, exactly. You bread them. Okay? You bread them with some sort of whatever. Asiri. The kemach ain't nechuk moshu chai. Because the flour was not readable raw. Right? So when you mix it with flour, now all of a sudden it becomes bishlakim. The figure is Rosh Hashanah, so now it becomes Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course. So what's the chidush? And now basically the flower is Rosh Hashanah. So now the tema, Harsan Eker, Kamashmon, Kamfaker. So you might think that the fish stuff, the fish fat, fried fish, that's the Eker. And since that's the Eker, you'd say it's not Rosh Hashanah. No, it's teaching you the Kamach, the flower is the Eker. Okay, so that's a different, that's not over there. So you, right, that's a different thing. You don't do it there. So Shilon, that's just so you have a Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So we got here having a maskana about whether or not you can use this stuff for Erev Tavshil. Yep.
Good question on
Bishul. This would be the given here is Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum definitely is saying it's his mother. Right? So I mean, maybe there's a Havmina by that also, but whatever. But that's a principle on Bishul Akum. It's Nechal Chai, it's not Bishul Akum. If it was edible already, it's not Bishul Akum. So that's a given, right?
So now it seems to be a question, what about here?
Right, what about here? By Erev Tavshilin. And that's the fetish. Is that even though it's not a vishal vis a vis vishal akum, it is vis a vis this. Vis Erev Tavshilin. Right? So the question, so that's the question. It's like, what's that dependent on? The question about Shabbos, I think, is really the question, right? Because by Shabbos, that's vishal. That is bishul. You could even be making it more, you know, like something more edible. It's bishul. No halacha. So what do you mean it ain't no bishul? He says it's not bishul. What do you mean bishul? Shabbos is bishul. But anyway, Shabbos is not a halacha of foods altogether. I mean, you see, you could cook dyes, and that's also bishul. So Shabbos is where you're using heat to make something functional or to enhance the function of something. Right. So it doesn't matter that it was already edible, but now you're using the heat and it's making it better. So that's the malacha of Bishul and malacha Shabbos. It's like productivity. So there is a productivity there. But it's not essentially a din in foods. It's about Gashem Bishul and Shabbos. But here, by like Bishul Akam or Erev Tavshilin, it is. I mean, we said there was a svara here, but I mean, I would think that That what's so defined as bishul vis-a-vis Shabbos is the framework of productivity. So that's where there's a productivity there. But this is not necessarily, we have to know what this is, but it's not about productivity here, per se. It definitely isn't. You know, bishul aklam is definitely not a minimum of productivity. And this, we're not sure what it is. But presumably, what does he mean? What does he mean, though, it's ain't no bishul? By as he's saying there, he's explaining why by bishul aklam it's not bishul, right? So again, for tomorrow, we'll try to define this question about Eretz Yisrael, you know, about the bishul aklam versus Eretz Yisrael, and then the next question is whether you need a gezayis for each person. If you have a multiple person eruv, do you need a gezayis for each person, or it's sufficient to have one gezayis altogether? So again, on top of Tzayin Amanah, Amen Beis. Okie dokie, have a good one.